Yeah. Check. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flare, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope, so no overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. I'm also joined by my co-host, DB Schwartz. How's it going, bro?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Just watching the stuff that happened this weekend with some great interest, and interesting to see a community finally just kind of have it with the police. I don't know if it's the community at large or whatever, if it's just some members of Anonymous or whatever, what have you, but it was just interesting to see that the beginning of what our spring will be is starting now.
Yeah, man, it's it kind of just happened spontaneously. We're going to jump into that later. Hopefully we're going to get someone to call in from Albuquerque as well. Hopefully that was there at the protest, so maybe we could talk to them. I'm trying to find someone, but that just shows, you know, we still need to improve our network so we can get better at locating people that we can, you know, that are nearby what's happening, so that we can get a closer look at the news, you know? So right. So that we can get, like, directly to the source, so that we don't have, you know, all this corporate bias, because a lot of times people source articles that are from corporate news, and who knows if that stuff is legit or not, if it's biased. Obviously it's biased, but so if anyone out there listening is from Albuquerque and was at the protests or knows, was familiar with what's going on, make sure you guys call in later when we start going over this thing half past the hour. But you know, it seems like people are just getting tired of it, and I know the Occupy movement is planning a resurgence at the end of the week here on 4/4, and they're calling it the wave of action, hashtag wave of action. You guys can find out info about that. I'm sure there's one going on pretty much all over the place. I know we're going to be here in San Diego. Some of my friends are going to try to do an all night thing. I don't know. We'll see what goes on. But I think people are like we talk about all the time, it's just a matter of this information slowly seeping out and our networks pushing it out, and people realizing what's going on. Eventually people are going to get sick of it. And just like what happened in Anaheim, it kind of is the same thing that happened out in Albuquerque, where the cops have just been killing people, man. They killed two guys in the last 2 weeks, and both of them were unarmed. And the cops lied about this last guy, which is what I really think made these protests happen. And they pushed it over the edge, because – like 5 days ago, the cops shot this guy, and they're like, yeah, he shot at us first, so then we had no choice but to kill him. Now, that was the official story for a few days. Then it turns out that the guy living across the street had his camera going, and he was able to take video and take a close-up of kind of what went on. And just like the guy's family said, no, he didn't have a gun. He had a phone in his hand. And according to this video from the neighbor, it looks like the cops are in fact lying, and they said that he took the first shot, when in fact he did not take the first shot, that's for sure. And it looks like he has a phone in his hand.
Right.
So I mean, I think that's really what pushed these people over the edge, and it's kind of the same thing that happened in Anaheim.
And it's the same as the college girl that cops basically molested and detained on the ground and pretty much used completely undue force that was completely inappropriate according to her, and she's suing for $40 million because why? Well, they thought she was an underage customer buying a beer, which turned out to be a water. I don't know if you heard about this story, but it's to the point now where us as citizens, as it touches more people, as more people are hurt, as more people have their lives ruined by the unsound hiring processes, practices, and qualifications for the police, we as citizens are going to have to demand really concise changes. They have to be disarmed. They have to have cameras, and they have to be held to a higher standard. And that, in my opinion, means they need to have at least 4 years of military training or a college degree, one or the other, to me. Because then at least you're going to have disciplined guys that are going to be Constitution first, or intelligent people that cannot be told what to do and will not do undue orders.
And I mean, San Diego police, I remember my grandpa, man, before he died, he would always talk about like how a guy got killed. There was a guy in San Diego years back that got killed. He was holding a sandwich, bro. All he was holding was a sandwich in his hand. The cops shot him and killed him. You know, and it's well known around here that we got a rotten police force. Everyone knows LAPD is rotten. Now we know that Albuquerque is rotten. How about this this kid that's going to jail for 10 years for hacking and exposing those Steubenville rapists?
And how about the DuPont hair who raped his own 3-year-old daughter and is not going to do any time at all? Any time at all. 8 years of probation with time served because the judge thought there's no real rehabilitation for this kind of mental problem, and he wouldn't fare well in jail. In other words, he'd be killed by the other inmates. And we're at that point in society where the Sodom and Gomorrah has come full circle. And I'm not saying that it's that way on an individual level. There's still overwhelmingly 99% of the people that live in the U.S. are at the very least indifferent. They're not evil. But the problem is at the very top, you have these people that just have gotten away with too much for too long. They feel invincible. For all we know, they are, unless people from inside start to have a calling of conscience. We can only hope.
And you see, the problem is that all these white-collar workers think that they're they think that they're benefiting from the system when they're just really just pawns in the system. They're just slaves to it. Yeah, they have a better life than the average Joe. Maybe they make 100, 200, 300 grand a year, but they're still just pawns in the system. They were just peons, and they don't realize it, and they think they're rich when in reality they have no idea what real wealth really is it comes down to what we're talking about with these major, you know, handful of billionaires that control almost all the resources.
Right, and they're rich in a sense that there's still enough people in the world duped that into thinking that this system is the only alternative that there is, and there's really nothing else that would work. Every other political ideology has already been tried and it hasn't worked, and that this is the best we've got as humanity, when in fact we know quite the opposite is the truth, that where we're at right now is the Dark Ages if we don't allow it to get worse and we actually reverse the tide. Because there's so many things right now that are holding us back, like the fact that me and you work to pay for energy and education and healthcare, which should all be free.
And food.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying. If we had those other three things for free, the food would grow itself. I mean, food does grow itself. If we took every tree in the world and replaced it with a fruit tree, well, there'd be no world hunger overnight.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's like – sorry, something's wrong with my mic here. Hold on. It's like if we were managing things correctly, man, there would not be a real scarcity of at least the basic stuff, the basic food and things you need. Of course, what we're talking about is when society automatically helps people that can't help themselves. What we're not talking about is where you have this government bureaucracy where they come in and forcefully take your money and then squander it on foreign policy and then act like they're paying to help poor people. Because that's what they're doing right now.
That's what Obamacare is, and that's what any kind of free program is. Whenever you hear the word free and the next word is government program, it's not free. It's simply a reallocation of wealth or labor at the point of a gun. That's all it is. You rob from the middle class because they're the people that are obviously the most invested in the current system, having worked really hard for what they consider good jobs and income. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to put their family in jeopardy. They don't want to be in poverty. And they'll pretty much take it up the behind as long as they still have some semblance of some life quality.
And,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. And now the other thing is, and we look at this court, this ruling with this guy. Let's see. What's his name here? Anyway, this guy's the Derek Lostutter. He's the heir to the DuPont fortune, I guess.
Right.
And he just gets off. But there's that woman in Florida that took a warning shot at her husband because he was abusive and about to beat her up, and she was in prison for how many years? So I mean, the justice system is just so regressive. So if you're poor and you can't afford this top of the line lawyer, then you're screwed. If you're rich and if you're rich but you could afford this lawyer, you could almost get away with anything. That's if you even get charged. The extremely rich don't even get charged.
And it's far beyond that, because say the judge decides to throw the hammer on this guy. Well, do you really think she'll keep her job? Do you really think she'll be able to ever get hired anywhere again? Do you really think her pension will go unscathed? I mean, there are simple ways for the elites to basically make those in the middle who do their bidding do what they want, because they control the system itself. It's the same reason they're vetting the military now and getting guys who are yes men, who are going to be willing to do whatever they want, who buy into the system. It's the system itself that's allowed to perpetrate that allows these injustices to continue. Because if this guy's just whatever, a regular guy, I mean, he gets life for sure. He gets life.
Yeah. And I mean, just imagine, like, when you get a speeding ticket. Now, if I get a speeding ticket and let's just say it's $300, that's a pretty huge chunk of my income, right? That's like, dude, that really hurts.
Right.
And if you're a millionaire or a billionaire and you get caught speeding, $300 later, you're like, what? That's like dropping a nickel out of my pocket at the most. You know, it's nothing. So in that way, also, I believe that the justice system is regressive, and I think that people that are poor shouldn't have to be paying these same fines that people that are billionaires. I mean, it's not an equal punishment. It should be based on a percentage of your income. Okay, you get speeding, 1% of your income for 3 months or whatever, you know. And then so if you're broke, then it's not as bad. If you're rich, well, it's still only 1% of your income, but that's still going to be like 10 grand, and it's not going to be like chump change, because then what's the punishment? If it doesn't hurt him any, what's the punishment? So, I mean, the entire justice system, the way that it's carried out, tickets and fines and all that stuff, it's all regressive.
Definitely. I mean, that's well known at this point now. I mean, it's just like the kid in Texas who was convicted of killing, I don't know, 3 or 4 people. He was driving drunk and didn't do a day in jail because he was wealthy and he suffered from affluenza and had no repercussions for any of his actions growing up. So he had no idea what a consequence was, and therefore he couldn't be rehabbed. I mean, we're at the point where this tort law, this justice system we're in, this gentleman's law, the one that the peasants were never entitled to begin with and are now basically trying to fight their way through without the education or means to do so, it really cannot last if we're asking for justice for the actual common man. I mean, the layman cannot look at the current law and the legalese and even decipher what the hell's going on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's such a huge bureaucratic pile of junk, a pile of paper. I mean, who has the time to read through a 60,000-page tax code? Nobody.
Right.
No one's got time to actually look at this justice system unless you're a high-paid lawyer and you got staffers, you got assistants, you know, researching the cases and all this stuff. Yeah, then maybe you can find the loophole in it. But the average Joe, there's just no way in hell that we can do that.
Nope. I mean, not only that, but then, you know, law used to be part of the educational curriculum, much like music and art and other things that were not just dedicated to making worker drones. And if people just decided that had to come back into play into our education, where even children as young as 12 years old were learning cursory law and understanding the code behind it and why it was done, those days are so long gone now that we literally are living in a nation of slaves. They don't know their own rights and therefore have none. It's like William Cooper loved to say on his Babylon series, is that people just don't know that they don't even know.
Exactly, man. And now, thanks to the internet, we're getting to the point now where we're getting to this breaking point. More and more people know. That's why you see these things popping up like we see in Albuquerque, because people are seeing that this stuff is going on. And now it's not mainstream filtered, where in the mainstream they're going to say, oh, yeah, the cops just took down a guy. He was a criminal. Or he was armed, you know, and they're not going to question the story. Meanwhile, we got this guy leaking this video on YouTube showing that the guy didn't actually take the first shot. Well, then that changes the whole landscape of what's actually going to happen here, because up until that point, the Albuquerque Police Department wasn't going to be investigated. After that video got released, now all of a sudden the FBI is like, oh, maybe we better look into this thing.
Right.
You know, but once again, it's when it comes down to it, it's still the government investigating the government, dude. I highly doubt that there's going to be any true transparency. Obviously, they'll probably throw a little bone. They'll say, oh, well, the chief's going to retire or whatever. But there's not going to be any real prosecution, you know. And that's just – they throw you a bone to appease you, and then the march goes on. Everyone forgets about it, and that's it. You know, we can't let it go that way anymore. I think people are tired of it. People are ready to, like, take a stand against all this stuff. So it's an everlasting battle, man. That's why activists are in the streets every day. You know, I've already been in three meetings since Friday, with local activists and actions that we're trying to do on the ground, because it's a never-ending battle, man. I mean, until we're old, and unless something miraculous happens, where all of a sudden the world, there's like an enlightenment, everybody's chill again. It's a lifelong battle that we're going to be having probably to deal with.
And it's so silly, because all the stuff we need right now to make.
Right. Hey, we got a call coming in. Let's take this. It might be from Albuquerque. I'm not sure.
Awesome.
Hey, how's it going? You're on the Anti-Media Radio. Who's this?
This is Hubert.
Hey, Hubert.
How's it going, man? What do you want to talk about?
Oh, I just I wanted to let you guys know about all this shit going on over in Albuquerque, New Mexico, has sprung a lot of people to think about the rising police state and the overuse of police brutality. Just want to say that out of the ashes, DerpSec has risen, and we're making a video tonight, and we've started an operation called Op Justice for Boyd. And we plan on April 26th, we want the entire nation to call in to the APD. We want them to tie up the phone lines. It's not going to tie up the emergency lines, but we want to tie up the phone lines while we tie up the servers. Just give them something to think about. And April 26th is down the road, so it's enough time for them to, you know, everything that's going on now will kind of sizzle down, then boom, we'll hit them when they least expect it.
Awesome, man. That sounds great. Real quick, just throw out the hashtags and whatever you're using so that anyone listening can find out what's going on and try to join in.
It's hashtag Op Justice, the number 4, and Boyd, B-O-Y-D. Or hashtag DerpSec, D-E-R-P-S-E-C.
Awesome, man. Well, we'll get that out there, and make sure you, if you can, drop me a link on the Anti-Media Facebook page with a little more info, and then we can get one of our journalists on it and get a little bit of press for it.
That would be nice. We want to make this thing big, because the more people calling all day tying that shit up is going to be better to keep them distracted while we do what we do. And you're going to have to log in. You're going to have to log in on April 26th to their website to see some funny shit, man. So.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for your call, man. And make sure you tune in Wednesday, and don't forget to drop me some info, and then we'll be in contact.
You bet, buddy. Take care.
All right.
Derp sec.
You know what's funny, Nick, is Boyd is kind of like New Mexico's Kelly Thomas, where it's getting a community that forever has been marginalized at large by the police, maybe because of, you know, whatever the community has this reputation for, they lump all citizens in. And this guy was not even a part of it. He was living off grid, and they just had to go up there and fuck with him and kill him. For what? For having a couple knives? And they wouldn't just leave the guy alone? I mean, he's out on the land. He's doing all right. He's not bothering anybody. Probably some hiker got scared or something. I mean, we're really in that paranoia phase. It's gotten to the point where all this propaganda is working on the weak-willed sheeples.
Well, we talked about it about, 3 weeks ago or so. If you have a problem and you can't solve it yourself, whatever you do, don't call the cops, because that there's a good chance that whoever you're calling the cops and whoever you're in a fight with, normally it's a friend or a family member. That person may end up getting shot. So right. People have to remember that. You know, if you're going to call the cops, make sure it's a legitimate reason. Like if you're actually getting robbed or something, you know, but if you're calling the cops on your brother because he's, you know, doing something stupid, I mean, you know, just remember, just like that guy that called the cop on his son because remember that story a few months ago, 16-year-old kid took off in his dad's truck. Right. And his dad was like trying to teach him a lesson, apparently, according to some of the statements he made. And he called the cops on him. And what ended up happening? The kid ended up getting shot.
Chase out. And then they try to shoot the tires out. And of course, had shot at him through the back window. Funny anecdote, Nick, you know, a couple of days ago, I was at a place and a big tough guy tried to yell something out of the car. And I confronted him. And what did the big tough guy do? Kind of get out of the car and go, I'll call the cops on you. You know, we're at that point where big pussy tough guys call the cops and then they come and murder people. That's where it's at.
Yeah, man. It's
that's their response. And by seeing this guy and the kind of – and he was like a – he looked like a strung out Albuquerque meth head from freaking Breaking Bad, dude. I would have smashed this guy in half. But he wouldn't get out of his car door, and then he sped off like a little punk. And I said, what are you going to call the cops for? You just threatened me, dude. They're going to come murder you.
Ridiculous, man.
Right? I mean, so this is where we're at, man. You know, I welcome him. Please call the police. Please get yourself shot. You look like the kind of guy they want to take out. By all means.
Well, what we need to do, man, is start figuring out ways to do self-policing, community-based policing. Where right. There's much more accountability. It's someone that lives in the neighborhood. He's not going to be trying to kill people. I mean, unfortunately, that kind of went wrong when it comes to the case of what's his name, George Zimmerman, the coward that had to that lost right. a fist fight and then pulled his gun.
Right.
You know, of course, there's going to be downfalls to that too.
There's differences between looking for trouble and then being an overzealous neighborhood watch guy. And then being able to protect yourself. Now, the other day, if I had had a gun, would I have pulled it on the guy? No, because I'm not insane. Had he had a gun and maybe pulled it on me, I don't know. The guy seemed kind of weird. But the fact is that if we're in a society where that question mark is there, where we're allowed to protect ourselves because our government can trust us because we can trust them. See, there's the difference. That social contract is shattered between us and our government now, and that's why they're trying to disarm us so hard. They know we don't trust them anymore. They cannot allow this facade to continue anymore with us able to protect ourselves. They just simply cannot. But that's where it comes down to on an individual level. Now, if this guy thought I had a gun or if I wasn't as physically imposing as I am, would he have tried to come and hurt me? Very likely. He looked like a shifty, mentally unbalanced character. But now if I was a 5-foot-tall female and he got the same idea, would he come at me? Who knows? And that's why we need to have a level playing field for people that are good people. They need to be able to protect themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't need the police to do it because they do it poorly. They have poor qualifications. We're not talking about highly trained, motivated, and ethical individuals any longer. This is not – it's no longer a profession of renown. It's now where we look at it and say, you're a cop? Wow. It's you know like, somebody who's a cop? Wow. I feel bad for you.
It's like, since when you get into an argument with somebody that's holding a phone, would you ever in your right mind ever have to pull out a pistol and shoot the guy?
Right.
I mean, he wasn't running at them. He wasn't making any kind of aggressive gestures. He was just standing on his porch saying, basically, you know, not complying, saying, right, I don't want to talk to you guys or whatever. I'm not going to listen to you. This is my house or whatever. I couldn't make out the audio, but I'm guessing that's basically what the kind of stuff he was saying. And, you know, he was just standing there, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 he's gone.
Right.
You know, he's shot and he's dead.
That's just, I mean, it's what it is. And what was this whole call out there for? Well, of course, overzealous neighbors who just, you know, nobody knows anybody lives around him anymore. Nobody makes personal contact. Everybody's watching American Idol all night.
Well, he obviously had one awake neighbor across the street that was able to whip out his phone and take some video.
Yep, couldn't go over and ask anything.
And now those cops are done. They outright lied and said that guy shot first. I'm sure when they went and picked his body up, they saw that it wasn't a gun. They could have changed the story, right? They could have said, "Oh, damn, we messed up. It wasn't a gun." Mm-hmm. But no, they tried to push that lie through. And the family, the whole time, the guy's family was like, "No, that's bullshit. He had a phone in his hand. It wasn't a gun." And then the video comes out a few days later. Boom. You know, this is the kind of stuff we need. We need people to be awake. We need people to be aware. They need to be able to, you know, be smart about it. That whoever took that video was smart. They didn't go out on the front lawn and like videotape it right in front, especially because the cops are out there shooting. They could have got shot.
Right.
They stayed hidden so that the cops didn't think to go in their house and search them and take their phones away and take their video.
Listen, you know? The backlash is coming. Okay. Houston's the test. Is the test dummy for the camera pilot. Basically what they have is the camera pin that goes on their front right pocket of their uniform. Now we need to have citizen spurred legislation that says that anything done without, you know, coercive video evidence is just not, it's your word has no bearing over anybody else's. You're a private citizen, in other words. The fact you're a peace officer doesn't matter anymore. If your camera malfunctions for any reason or it's turned off, that you're completely culpable for everything you do and you're completely liable on a personal, 100% personal basis. 100%. If a cop's camera malfunctions, they need to go back to base and fix it. Seriously. It's to that point now. If they continue to be on duty with the camera off, anything they do is personally liable, 100% on their social security number, not the department and not the city.
You know, maybe back in the 50s, it was like, cool, like, okay, yeah, neighborhood cop, yeah, nice guy, you know, we got a sheriff, you know, this, that, and the other thing. But if we look at the raw numbers and if we look at the statistics here, what we see is that the police, since 9/11 – during the whole time of the Iraq war, the police in this country killed more Americans than the amount of Americans that died in the war in Iraq.
Right.
So, I mean, these guys have totally – they may have had it a long time ago, but now they've lost all trust. They've been exposed for the racists that they are and the fascists that they are. And it all started with this Rodney King thing. That was this Rodney King thing was like when citizen journalism hit a new level. And it actually created a riot. there were riots because of that, you know. And that shows the power of citizen journalism, because someone just happened to have a camera that day. And back then, you had to have like a camcorder. You couldn't just have your phone. You had to actually have like a camcorder, legit. You know, it was kind of the odds were against them actually catching that on film, but they did. And that has completely changed the game. And now it's our turn to turn the technology on them. They've got they've got the guns, they've got the tasers, the bulletproof vests, all that
but
shit.
But we allow them to. We allow – they're just us. They're just me and you, man. They're no better. In fact, in many ways, they're much worse. These hiring qualifications have been steadily lowered and lowered, man. We're not talking about the cream of the crop anymore. Quite the opposite, in fact. I'm sorry to say that. It used to be a position of pride, and people would really respect police. They really would. But now we understand what they are. You are an arm of oppression, and it needs to be reeled in. That's all it is. You take the three things I said, and the oppression ends. It ends. I mean, You de-arm them of lethal weapons, you make them wear a camera, and you make them have 4 years military or a college degree, and everything is done. It's over. You'll have no more knuckleheads patrolling, and even the few ones that do slide through those cracks can't kill anybody anymore. And if you really truly have a position where you need firepower, the SWAT will come in and mop up anybody. Trust me on that. They are a military into themselves. So you don't need rank and file guys to be armed. The freaking military is not armed on base. They have armories.
Yeah, like that guy that went in there and shot up the Marine right? base. That weird
the
incident.
Naval base.
Yeah. Sorry, the naval base.
Guys at their posts because they you know why? Because they're so paranoid that there'll be an uprising among the military men. If they have the ability to get firearms, they'll say, you know what? The hell with all these undue orders. This is literally where we're at. We're on a teetering point. We're on a breaking point. And, you know, these are the first cracks. It's the law enforcement right now. It's starting to show its true colors. They're completely just – they're out of control, man. They need to be reeled in. Reeled in. Otherwise, they serve no purpose. I can go out and get a bulletproof vest and have an AR-15 on me, and I will not be a victim. I promise you that. So we don't need these dudes. What are they here for? To protect the weak? Arm them. They're no longer weak. The deal's done.
Yeah, I mean, and there's no reason for these guys to be lethally armed. And for them to be at the same time coming after our guns. And then we got this hypocrisy with this California senator, Leland Yee, that is this champion of gun control. He's got like all these awards and medals from these gold control.
He's a triad.
And he's totally he's totally trafficking weapons.
He's going to go away forever for treason because he's working with Chinese mafiosos. Now we have this interesting crazy debacle going on with Feinstein, who of course is going to come out as the state champion rights, which is just laughable. And she's going after the CIA now because she's saying that they use unlawful torture practices to obtain information, and that her own sources were able to find. I mean, do you see the turf war going on right now? I mean, we're in we're at the beginning of the flux and the turmoil and the eye of the storm here.
Yeah, man. I mean, all signs, according to what I see, it's like the pillars are falling underneath this pyramid,
and they're fighting each other.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that there's pillars underneath this pyramid, and those pillars are built off of our backs and our minds and our the things that we think about and the propaganda that they're able to do. All of the foundation of this pyramid scheme, it's all mental. It's all about like what you can actually get people to believe in. This whole dollar, the fiat system, the central banking, the monetary system, the stock market. I mean, look at this thing that we just found out about the stock market. This guy it was even on 60 Minutes last night.
Right. The author of Moneyball, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are skimming all the stocks. I mean, it's all a sham. Yeah.
They don't care what stock goes up and down. They're getting rich off service fees. What people need to understand is this. Wall Street is a giant debacle, okay? It's a gambling house that goes up and down based on arbitrary numbers that people pretty much skew with derivatives, okay? And they'll bet on anything and anyone. And the worse things get, the better they get for some of these guys. And the better things get, you know, then they try to make them worse because war is more profitable than peace. And this is the reality of it. The Wall Street model is nothing. It isn't anything at all. It's just you buying interest in a company that may or may not be at the time profitable. It's not an investment vehicle at all. The real investment vehicle is this. If you have 50 grand and you have 8 or 9 friends, go buy a farm and then buy another and another and another and another and another. That's investment. Investing in these giant megalithical corporations that are doomed to fail because the world will contract when oil becomes too expensive. Why would you do that to yourself?
Invest in things that you can touch. You know,
control.
Invest in a rural organic farm 20 miles from your house. You could actually go there and see the stuff working, and you could actually put your hands in and do the work yourself.
Yep, and you can eat. when this depression hits and bread's $15, well, people by and large will not starve, but they'll be on the verge of it. They'll be on the verge of food rioting. And if you can go and get a bunch of crops and it's your land, I mean, people back in the Great Depression, you know, if you weren't a banker class, the only way you sat pretty was if you had land and you were eating. If you were trying to make it in a tent city in a big city, well, man, I mean, every day was a struggle.
Me and my buddy, now, you know, of course, this is only for a certain situation, which happens to be with something I can work with. Because I know sometimes in certain places there is no access to rural land, you know, in some metropolitan areas. But here where I'm at, just to the east, there's some rural land that you can buy and produce crops. And my buddy was like, dude, like, well, if we get like 20 people to pitch in, we can get like a couple acres of land out in the east of San Diego and grow our own little homestead, basically.
Yep.
And then we all share in it, you know. Yep. And it's a great idea. I mean, why not get a few people to, instead of trying to go it yourself, because everybody's on tough financial times. There's no way in hell that I could do it myself. So why not get some people together, pitch in, and say, all right, dude, we're gonna go and we're gonna get 2 acres, 3 acres, whatever, and set up some kind of greenhouse and outdoor gardening, right. Vertical
it doesn't
gardens
have to be
or
zoned.
Whatever.
Just don't sell it. I mean, you pay a really low, maybe $200 a year property tax just for, you know, contributing to the robbers. Just to keep them off your back. But you're gonna grow. I mean, how many pounds of food did the guy grow on an acre? I think
on 3 acres, man. On 3 acres, right? This guy, yeah, he grew 1 million pounds of food, and that's in Wisconsin where you have a big snow season.
Right. So 3 acres, a million pounds of food. The average human being can survive on probably 1 pound of food indefinitely, forever, a day. You probably need 360 pounds of food and you can be fine.
Yeah, most Americans probably eat like 2-3 pounds of food, but in a lot of countries, people probably go on less than a pound of food. They probably go on like a half pound of food.
What I'm saying is this: if you had a moderately productive acre, you should be able to grow 1,000 pounds of food anywhere. And
for
that should
sure.
That should more than you know, 1 acre is enough for a person for a year if it's properly farmed and cultivated and rotated. And these are all skills you can learn, and they're not hard to learn. YouTube's full of these guerrilla farmers, guys that are growing massive quantities of food on rooftops in New York City, where they have major pollution to contend with, and they're making it happen. You know, it's just, is it a necessity yet? No. Will it become one? Well, I think there's a report that said food prices have jumped 19% in the last 3 months. So if you haven't seen hyperinflation hit you yet, you're probably making a decent living. But if you are struggling, or if you're thinking about getting on food stamps already because of this thing happening right now with commodities, it's not a mistake. This is being done on purpose. This is the push to FEMA camps, is what they say.
Well, you saw the wheat prices were up like 13%, right, or something like that in like 3 months, and let's look at Europe. Look at Ukraine. That's where a lot of the wheat comes from, dude. A lot of the wheat comes from there and in that portion of Russia that borders along Ukraine. So if that area is in play, the farming is going to go down. The wheat prices are going to skyrocket. Russia is going to make a reaping because they're the ones in control of all the wheat for Europe.
Right.
So they're going to make bank on this. So, I mean – like you were saying, man, there could be some kind of rift going on within the elite. You know, the fraternities that be are fighting each other over, you know, for control or whatever. Because let's face it, these guys are bureaucrats. They're no better than you or I. They're gonna have their own problems. They're gonna have their own fights.
Well, yeah, they are. And the thing is, the infighting has been going on forever. There's really three schools left. There's three superpowers left in the world. That's it. This was always the stalemate that was envisioned by many a political theorist. There would be two or maybe three super states. This is what came up in 1984, where there was an unnamed super state, which was under a permanent police surveillance grid, because there's no more movement in the world once a country becomes invasion proof. There's only proxy wars. War equals peace, in other words, you see. So the backwards doublespeak in a way works in a reverse logical sense, because what would we do if you're a guy that wants to run the world, but there's Russia and China in the way? Do you fight them? You can't, because you'll probably die and everybody you know will probably die. So what do? You look for resources in other places that have weak militaries and go get it. If the other guys come compete for you, well, it's all part of the big grand chess game. Who cares?
And you just try to starve them out. You know,
yeah, exactly.
That's what all China, these resource grabs are all about.
Right.
Man.
China's on the cusp of – most people don't know this because they don't really know much about China. But China's really on the cusp of their own economic collapse. You know, they've been trying so hard to acquire all this gold worldwide and call in all their debts. But they just simply are so over-leveraged. They are owed trillions and can only get back really billions in gold that they're going to be left holding the bag. And eventually their people are going to say, hey, our quality of life's not really getting that good. Things are getting expensive. You know, we want better quality of life. Sorry, we can't give it to you. You know, all we got is this couple hundred billion in gold. Well, do you think that's going to fly?
And you also got Janet Yellen, which is the new chairman of the Fed, chairwoman of the Fed. And she today was basically saying that, yeah, she's going to keep interest rates where they're at, which is basically at zero. And the thing that's so ironic, if you were to by chance go over to the New York Times, and I hope no one goes there daily, but the headline at the New York Times today was, here's the solution, just work and save more. That was like one of their main headlines. It's like work and like save money in the bank, basically. It's like, are you forgetting that there's basically a zero interest right now? Even 3 years ago, when I had money in the bank, when I started realizing what was going on, I went in and asked for the fine print to look at it, and I looked at my interest rate and it was like 0.01. It was like nothing almost.
If you have a lot of money in your bank, like a lot, you should be slowly but surely, you know, regularly transferring that into silver. Just do it. It's not doing anything for you in your bank. It's not making interest. People go, well, gold and silver are down. Guess why they're down? They're being manipulated down by the elites who are swallowing them up as much as they can right now, because they actually have a real wealth no matter what. Gold and silver will always be useful because of the chemical properties of the metal itself. Okay, that's what people need to understand. That's why they've been used as wealth transfer, and especially platinum. I mean, by God, platinum can transfer things like you wouldn't believe as far as electrical current and other uses. So people need to get that. There's a reason why commodities are going up, and gold, silver, platinum, and even diamonds are all going down. Do you see the squeeze that's happening? Do you understand that if somebody has $100 million right now, they're having the time of their lives?
Yeah, man. They're definitely the reason the prices are down right now is exactly like you were saying, is that these guys are scooping it up. They're pushing it down artificially, and then they're acquiring all the physical stuff. They're picking up all the physical gold and the physical silver. Why? Because that is the fuel of the future, in my opinion, because that's what they're going to make these perpetual electronic engines out of eventually. Basically, what the Earth is, basically, is what they're going to miniaturize those and basically turn those into our new motors, our source of energy, because all you need is pressure, and you have almost infinite energy there, right? So these guys are scooping up all the real wealth, because that's probably like the alien tech. That's probably the energy of the future is based on these, you know, it looks like a giant electron. You know how electrons have basically perpetual energy, right? Electrons will always forever keep rotating. And that is like the ideal motor. And that's exactly how the Earth works. If you look at the Earth, it's like a giant electron. We have the iron solid core, which is polarized, so it has north and south pole, and then there's all these molten metals rolling and flowing around the center of the Earth like a current in the ocean.
We have a mini sun inside of us.
Exactly.
We have a huge mini sun reacting to a big one. I mean, you just have to understand. And then even further out of that, there's a 4 out of 5 chance that our sun has a binary twin somewhere, which is always the Nibiru myth where it's going to come back and drag another solar system, blah, blah, blah. Which, you know, from what I've heard for the last year and a half, it's supposed to come. And now I hear August. So who knows? The thing is this. Gold, silver, platinum, these heavy, valuable metals were valuable a long time ago for a reason. For a reason, okay? The people don't care if the dollar goes to nothing, and they don't. They don't. They have farms. They have armed security. They have underground bases. They got gold and silver. They got food. They got seed banks. They got drones. It's done. So the only thing left now is, can public opinion be swayed for good? Can we defeat all of the fear-mongering, war-mongering, selfish, sick, evil individuals that are trying to get all these people, hapless or not, to do their bidding for them? Because individually, they have no power.
And just like I was saying earlier, this whole pyramid is built on these pillars. And if we can get the people to just realize it, it's all gone. The whole thing collapses. The whole pyramid scheme is over. And everything could be different, but it just takes a matter of everybody realizing, okay, this pyramid, they realize the pyramid scheme, they become aware of it, they understand that it's got to go, and then once enough people get to that point, once we hit a majority, then it's over. It's gone. The pyramid collapses, the foundation goes under, there's going to be a rearranging of things, there's going to be new elites, there's going to be a new dictator, of course, unless we can actually push the right kind of ideas through, which is why I'm not a big fan of these people that call for revolution and stuff like right now, because I just don't think the ideas are there yet.
Bridge to what? To chaos, death. My family, your family could die. I mean, this is what they really want this. They're trying to goad it out of us. They really want it. They do. They're prepared for that. No, we can't survive 10. We don't have underground bases of 10 years of food. Well, you know what I mean? They're prepared for anything. So how do we peacefully, so that we don't, you know, have a violent problem, there's no solution in violence, okay? There's no solution. There's only World War III, so we can't let it come to that point. We're going to have to just win the hearts and minds of these dudes, their kids, the next generation of the elites. They need to be, you know, more or less pulled into the fold of humanity as a whole. We need to become all inclusive, all into one. You know, when they talk about the new world order of things, that's totally the wrong way of going about it. It was already happening. The internet has spurred the new world order, the natural organic world order, where we can all talk to each other. We'll become friends across the globe and we won't fight anymore. Why would we? We're the same damn species.
Yeah, man, but unfortunately for the people that like to make money off of everybody else, having peaceful relationships with people all over the world isn't profitable.
But it will be the natural order of things, because just like the moon revolves around the earth and the earth around the sun, so does the goodwill of humanity always end up winning. Now, will we have a dark stage where all the evil actors are portrayed, you know, in leadership roles and manipulate people into doing bad things? Sure. That's just a part of the cycle. Are we going to come out of this stronger? Oh, yeah. You know, these people, whatever they decide to do, because they're getting desperate now, they're going to expose themselves whenever they pull their so-called final plan. And it never will be a final plan. They cannot, no matter how much scientific research they do, how many think tanks they own, how many geniuses they cultivate, they can never cover every contingency. They can't. They just can't, dude. It's chaos theory.
And it's literally everything has two sides to it. Because literally, if you look down at the atomic level, everything's got a positive and negative charge. And then as you increase that, as you scale that up, it comes down to, yeah, there's bad things happening. There's bad people in this world. But at the same time, there's always going to be that other half.
More than other half. More good people than bad, for sure. Way more. You know, the problem is that when you're a good person and you see evil, you're good and you don't want to confront, you don't want to hurt and destroy and kill, even if it is evil. You want to save, and that's just the natural way of human nature. You know, 5% of people are probably just, they're born evil. They're just born bad. They're twisted. They're wrong. Something was crossed in their wiring, whatever. And you have all these other people. The problem is the good people are sheeple. Okay. They're sheep. They need to be led. There needs to be benevolent flock masters to get everyone motivated to get these wolves out of the pasture.
Yeah. Because a lot of these people that are good people are just too damn nice.
Yes.
You know? Because they're good people. They're nice people. They don't want to hurt anybody else. So they're too nice.
Not even if they're evil. Even if they're evil. If they had a gun and an evil guy had a gun, they'd let themselves be shot. Because they don't have an evil bone in their body. And that's okay. That's okay. That's fine. We want people like that. We want the meek to inherit the earth.
If only the whole world were like that, we'd be in great shape right now.
Right. That's the whole problem, is you have this small contingent of wolves and then these other guys like me and you who are we're not really armed to the teeth, man. All we got is our thoughts and our voice. But we see what's going on. We see it. We want to be the shepherds. We want to show people the right way, because I don't care if there's 500 wolves. If there's a million sheep, they're trampling the pack of wolves. I don't care how cool they are and how buff the wolves are. And there's just not that many wolves. These guys have been feasting for far too long, and this can't persist. We're running out of stuff now, and they're trying to – I don't know if you saw it, Nick, but today the UN released a report that said global warming can be reversed if we cut our carbon usage and greenhouse gas. What do you think will come next, carbon tax? Will people buy into that, knowing that Tesla Tech provides free energy and has for 100-plus years?
I mean, exactly, man. And obviously this UN thing, carbon, you know, as a solution to global warming, we're going to create this carbon tax, which basically says if you're rich enough, you can pollute all the fuck you want.
Correct.
And guess what? The rich guys are the ones that pollute the most. So guess what's going to happen? Yeah. It's you and me that are going to get punished.
Right.
And we're going to get hit at the gas pump or whatever. And then the rich guys that are the ones that do all the polluting, yeah, they're going to pay $10 million. But when they make $10 billion, that's nothing. It's
right.
Regressive again. Once again, it's regressive.
It's going to be forced agrarianism. Now, if anybody doesn't know what that means, it means you're going to be relegated to a peasant soon. If everything goes according to plan, will it be at the point of a gun? Partially. But a big portion of it's going to be convincing the youth that there are resources destroying the world that must be used, and they must not be used. Therefore, your life quality will be drastically reduced. Do you not see how this is imposed peasantry, imposed poverty through, well, just more psyops?
Basically,
because we haven't needed oil in 100 years. We really have not. We have not needed oil. We haven't. People need to get that out of their mind. The Egyptians had running electricity.
Yeah, man, I'm working on this, my next project. Now I got my aquaponic system up, and my next thing is to take the aquaponic system off grid, because right now I got it plugged in. So I'm going to build a type of, where I'm at, it's always windy. I'm going to build this windmill, out of a ceiling fan. I saw it on YouTube, man. It's awesome. You recycle an old ceiling fan and you can turn that into a windmill.
Yes.
And you can, and it's real simple, like that you could actually convert the existing motor that's on it and turn it into an alternator, more or less. And then you could create energy off that, albeit it's not as efficient as some would like. But the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to turn this thing into a gravity battery generating type of thing. So instead of turning the motor into a alternator, I'm going to hook the drive shaft up to a crank that basically lifts weight all day. And it's going to be lifting weight, and then when I want to get energy, I have the weights that are lifted hooked up to an alternator. So when you release the weight and the gravity pulls it down, it spins this alternator. I'm going to have it hooked up through like a bike gear or something. And that's where you get your electricity. It'll be a lot more efficient. And that's the thing that people don't – that's what the elite don't want people to do. They don't want people going off grid with their energy, because lose it.
Yeah.
Because then they lose the grid. They lose the control that they've been seeking for so long.
but it's so, it is so the future, because I don't know about you, man, but when I look at college, I look at it as jumping through hoops and then ending up in indentured servitude for a higher salary, sure. But it's still, I'm working for somebody else. And my destiny is not my own. And that's not the way we're supposed to be living anymore. We're past all this. We're past this point in history. This is being prolonged due to the efforts of a select few to, I don't know, I guess live the laissez-faire, or I guess we should say bourgeois lifestyle a little longer, where they don't need to worry about the environmental damage and they can continue to consume to excess and have mega yachts and everything else. And it just will not last any longer. We got to get over this hump. Everybody's got to grow food. We don't need the luxuries they've been selling you. You don't need them. I promise you that. You can grow, build, and create everything you need, especially if you have a core group of friends and you all pool all your knowledge and resources. And these are the survivors of what's coming.
Especially if you have a 3D printer too.
Oh yeah, and that's talking high tech. But like you said, making a windmill out of a ceiling fan, anyone can do that. You can go to a junkyard. You know what I'm saying? So these days, unless you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, or you play the game and get lucky, or you're exceptionally smart and get a great job, chances are you're going to have a better life if you get going now on getting off the grid now.
Exactly, man. It'll improve the standard of living without a doubt. Now, the last thing I want to talk about real quick was Obamacare. I know today was the last day to sign up. If anybody's listening that wants to talk about Obamacare, if you did or didn't sign up, call in and tell us why. The number is 1-718-717-8296. Once again, it's 718-717-8296. If you want to talk about this Obamacare thing real quick, because we only have about 3 minutes. Yeah. So
before we don't talk about it at all, I just wanted to do a little update on a theory about flights 370 Malaysia to Beijing that's gone missing. New research has come out that something went out from Diego Garcia. Okay, which is we own it. Okay, and there's been a theory floated out there that the four Beijing-bound Chinese scientists who had the invisibility tech from Freescale Superconductors couldn't be allowed to land in Beijing. So that plane was diverted. It was cloaked using the same exact technology that was going to be given over to the Chinese or sold or whatever, and it was landed in Diego Garcia. And now, I don't know what they're going to do, but you know, you can't allow radar invisibility technology to fall into the hands of the Chinese. I'm sorry. I understand it now. I get it now. It's spy games. We won it. We won this round. Maybe we diverted something that might have started World War III. Who knows? I don't know.
Out of all the theories I've heard, that actually seems like the most plausible one. But
you know, it did to me too, because we're the shit, they're the shit, somebody had to win, I guess we won this one.
Yeah, exactly, man. And it's economic warfare, and that's why they have the NSA, so that they can intercept this kind of stuff. So they're like, oh, okay, well, oh, damn, they're about to get this technology that we already have. No. Yep. So they go in, they say, oh, sorry, guys.
So was that a good thing?
We'll compensate all your families. You guys will get to live a good life after this. But either that or they just say, oh, sorry, guys, you guys are done.
We hope by all means that there's still some shred of the original American patriot within even the upper echelons, and that we're fighting for right, because we absolutely know that China is not. And we have a good idea that Putin's not too. So we can only hope that me and you and all of the people that live in this country will try to take it back. Because remember, we used to be the beacon on the hill, man. We got to get back to that. We got to be the white castle on the hill, to where people will flock to and they'll go to avoid persecution, not come to get beat down by our police departments and killed.
And not like Edward Snowden, where you had to go to Russia to get away from your own government.
Well, that might have been all a bunch of hijinks. Yeah, I mean, you won't know for years, but you know. But
still, I mean, also you got Chelsea Manning, which got nailed by her own government.
Right.
I mean, we're not the beacon of freedom at this point. We could
not anymore, but we should be.
We could come back, but I mean, that's a big if. It all depends on if we can get people individually taking action on their own. See you guys next week.
I'm gonna let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.